Chapter 20. A Knowledge of Practical Duties of Life. Children are God's precious heritage, to be disciplined, educated, and trained to lift burdens in their early years. These should be light at first, but children should be carefully educated to do their part, that they may understand how to do their work with willing aptitude. Useful employment essential. Example of Jesus as the perfect worker. In his earth life, Christ was an example to all the human family, and he was obedient and helpful in the home. He learned the carpenter's trade and worked with his own hands in the little shop at Nazareth. The Bible says of Jesus, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." As he worked in childhood and youth, mind and body were developed. He did not use his physical powers recklessly, but gave them such exercise as would keep them in health, that he might do the best work in every line. He was not willing to be defective, even in the handling of tools. He was perfect as a workman, as he was perfect in character. Young women to have knowledge of household duties. Many ladies, accounted well-educated, having graduated with honors at some institution of learning, are shamefully ignorant of the practical duties of life. They are destitute of the qualifications necessary for the proper regulation of the family, and hence essential to its happiness. They may talk of woman's elevated sphere and of her rights, yet they themselves fall far below the true sphere of woman. It is the right of every daughter of Eve to have a thorough knowledge of household duties, to receive training in every department of domestic labor. Every young lady should be so educated that if called to fill the position of wife and mother, she may preside as a queen in her own domain. She should be fully competent to guide and instruct her children, and to direct her servants, or, if need be, to minister with her own hands to the wants of her household. It is her right to understand the mechanism of the human body and the principles of hygiene, the matters of diet and dress, labor and recreation, and countless others that intimately concern the well-being of her household. It is her right to obtain such a knowledge of the best methods of treating disease that she can care for her children in sickness, instead of leaving her precious treasures in the hands of stranger nurses and physicians. The idea that ignorance of useful employment is an essential characteristic of the true gentleman or lady is contrary to the design of God in the creation of man. Idleness is a sin, and ignorance of common duties is the result of folly, which afterlife will give ample occasion to bitterly regret. Children to share domestic duties. The faithful mother will not, cannot, be a devotee of fashion. Neither will she be a domestic slave, to humor the whims of her children and excuse them from labor. She will teach them to share with her domestic duties, that they may have a knowledge of practical life. If the children share the labor with their mother, they will learn to regard useful employment as essential to happiness, ennobling rather than degrading. But if the mother educates her daughters to be indolent while she bears the heavy burdens of domestic life, she is teaching them to look down upon her as their servant, to wait on them and do the things they should do. The mother should ever retain her dignity. The value of practical education. Why work before play? My mother taught me to work. I used to ask my mother, "Why must I always do so much work before I play?" It is to educate and train your mind for useful labor, and another thing, to keep you out of mischief. And when you get older, you will thank me for it. When one of my little girls, a granddaughter, said to me, "Why must I knit?" "Grandmothers knit," I replied. "Will you tell me how grandmothers learned to knit?" "Why," she said, "they began when they were little girls." Teach girls to be independent. Many who consider it necessary for a son to be trained with reference to his own future maintenance seem to consider it entirely optional, whether or not their daughter is educated to be independent and self-supporting. She usually learns little at school which can be put to practical use in earning her daily bread. This was written in 1877, when few girls acquired any higher education. And receiving no instruction at home in the mysteries of the kitchen and domestic life, She grows up utterly useless, a burden upon her parents.
A woman who has been taught to take care of herself is also fitted to take care of others. She will never be a drug, a drag or burden, in the family or in society. When fortune frowns, there will be a place for her somewhere, a place where she can earn an honest living and assist those who are dependent upon her. Woman should be trained to some business whereby she can gain a livelihood if necessary. Passing over other honorable employments, every girl should learn to take charge of the domestic affairs of home, should be a cook, a housekeeper, a seamstress. She should understand all those things which it is necessary that the mistress of a house should know, whether her family is rich or poor. Then, if reverses come, she is prepared for any emergency. She is, in a manner, independent of circumstances. The child, the mere undisciplined, immature schoolgirl, the miss, dependent upon the discretion of parents and guardians, has no reason to listen to anything like courtship or marriage. She should decline all special attentions which would have the least likelihood to lead to any such results, and devote herself intently to making herself as perfect a woman as possible, that her life may be useful, and learn a trade that she will have employment and be independent. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, 21, 1880. All, even women, should learn a trade. All to educate themselves to industrious habits. The custom of supporting men and women in idleness by private gifts or church money encourages them in wrong habits. This course should be conscientiously avoided. Every man, woman, and child should be educated to practical, useful work. All should learn some trade. It may be tent making, it may be some other business, but all should be trained to use their powers to some purpose. And God is ready to increase the capabilities of all who will educate themselves to industrious habits. We are to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God will bless all who will guard their influence in this respect. Every Israelite required to teach children a trade. In Israel, industrial training was regarded as a duty. Every father was required to teach his sons some useful trade. The greatest men in Israel were trained to industrial pursuits. A knowledge of the duties pertaining to housewifery was considered essential for every woman. And skill in these duties was regarded as an honor to women of the highest station. Women of sharp intellect needed to manage business. Following is a portion of a letter written in February 1884 to the matron of the St. Helena Health Retreat. Mrs. White pleads with this woman to make a decided impact on the work of God, to train young women to be useful, and to use her own talents to her best ability. You should not follow your own inclinations. You should be very careful to set a right example in all things. Do not be inactive. Arouse your dormant energies. Make yourself a necessity to your husband by being attentive and helpful. Be a blessing to him in everything. Take up the duties essential to be done. Study how to perform with alacrity the plain, uninteresting, homely, but most needful duties which relate to domestic life. Your inactivity has been indulged and cultivated when it should be guarded against strictly and with a determined effort. My sister, your mind will bear taxing. If you take up the burdens that you should, you can be a blessing to the St. Helena Health Retreat. But the indulgence of your sluggish temperament is a detriment to you, physically, mentally, and spiritually. You need the quickening, converting power of God. You need to stand firmly and truly for God and the right. You need to be vitalized by the grace of Christ. Will you wake up and put to the task your almost paralyzed energies, seeking to do all the good in your power? You must exercise the living machinery, or else you will not be able to throw off the waste matter, and you will fall short of gaining health. Time is precious. Time is golden. It should not be devoted to little, unimportant things, which serve only to gratify the taste. You can be more useful, my sister, when you cease to allow unimportant things to take your golden moments, when useful and necessary things engage your attention and your time. There are many things to be done in this world of ours, and I hope you will not neglect the thoughtful, caretaking part of your work. You might have saved the institution with which you are connected hundreds of dollars had you put your soul into the work. Had you spoken a word here and done some planning there, you could have been a real blessing. Had you awakened your dormant energies by exercise in the open air and done what it was in your power to do with cheerfulness and alacrity, you could have accomplished much more than you have and been a real blessing.
I hope that you will devote your mind and your wisdom to the work. See that everything is run on an economical plan. This must be done, or debts will accumulate. Women of sharp, quick intellect are needed to discern where there is waste in little things and to rectify it. You have stood at the head of the health retreat as matron, and it was your duty to do this. Much could be saved that is now wasted for the want of a department head to see and plan and tell what should be done, one who will take right hold and by precept and example do this work. Girls will not be conscientious, diligent, and economical unless a right example is given them by the one standing at the head. If the girls are not willing to be taught, if they will not do as you wish them, let them be discharged. I know that much can be saved at our boarding house, and much at the sanitarium, if thoughtfulness and painstaking effort is brought into the work. By exerting a proper influence in these lines, you may educate girls for domestic service. This will be a great blessing to them. All our talents should be used. They should not be allowed to rust through inaction. All our influence should be used to the very best account. After Christ fed the multitude, he said, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." This lesson may apply to spiritual things as well as temporal. Those who do not appreciate and make the best use of their spiritual blessings, gathering up every precious ray of light, will soon become indifferent and inappreciative. Blessings are not given to those who do not value them. All our physical energies, as one of God's talents, should be used to the glory of God. Our influence is to be recognized and employed as belonging to God. God calls upon all to do their best.